All right, our guest right this moment here at the Florida Folk Festival is Haley Hall, and she is with
Aquifer Watch.
Aquifer Watch. Tell us what that is.
Hello, everybody. My name is Haley. I am a hydrogeologist with Aquifer Watch. We are a nonprofit focused on groundwater monitoring, science, and education. So we're a team of three of us. Our executive director is Dr. Rick Copeland, and he's got decades of experience monitoring Florida's waters, worked with the Florida Department of Environmental Protection for many years, and then started up a nonprofit to keep that monitoring going once he retired. So we work on a number of projects. We have a long-term project monitoring the groundwater quality of the Santa Fe River Basin. And I actually just started a project this year around the Suwannee River and Santa Fe River's distributing free nitrate well tests to people. So we encourage people to know their water and to know their well. Well,
that's really cool.
Okay.
Go
ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask, I don't think I've noticed you guys at the Folk Fest before, but I'm sure you guys have been here and I just didn't notice, or is this your
first time? This is our first year. So I'm from Suwannee County, and so I came to the Folk Fest as a kid. This is my first time coming as an adult, which is a little more fun. Well, there's plenty of fun for the kids, but I'm having a great time. This is Aquifer Watch's first year at the Folk Fest, and we're tabling with our Santa Fe River. But we're thrilled to be here. We're getting people signed up for free well tests.
Very cool.
You live in Live Oak?
I'm actually from Branford or O'Brien in Suwannee County.
O'Brien.
So Live Oak was the big town, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Were you here when they sang the song about the dogs in Live Oak?
No, I must have missed that one.
Dog paw tea.
Yeah. Well, that is a very interesting why did you bring this to the Florida Folk Festival?
That's a great question. So a lot of people don't realize that if you are on well water at your home, if you have your own well, it is your personal responsibility to test that water to make sure it's safe. People connected to a municipal water supply line don't have to worry about that because the city will test their water routinely for them. But if you have a private well, that's totally on you. And so I grew up on well water in O'Brien, in Suwannee County. It's crystal clear, tastes better than any other water I've had.
Really?
And, you know, we took pride in our well, and a lot of people take pride in their wells. But people don't realize that as times have changed with modernity, you know, we're polluting our water and we put things in our water that we can't always see.
What is modernity?
Modernity, as in the modern times.
Oh, modern.
Modernity. Yep. And so I'll talk a bit about nitrate. Nitrate is a colorless, odorless, tasteless chemical that is dissolved in water. It comes from things like farm fertilizer, livestock waste, and human waste through septic tanks. And because it's colorless and odorless, people don't realize that it can be in their water. And so the reason I started this project is because I realized that people near my home actually had their wells test above the health limit for nitrate. The state of Florida and the EPA have set a health limit of 10 parts per million in drinking water for nitrate. That's to guard against methemoglobinemia, also called blue baby syndrome. It's where the blood can no longer carry oxygen efficiently and suffocation or death can occur. And I found that this was happening right near my home. So where I'm from, along the Suwannee River, the Floridan Aquifer, which is the source of water for 90% of the state, is right at the surface. There's no clay layer, nothing really covering up or protecting it. So it's highly, highly vulnerable. And because it's so complicated with all the caves and springs there, when pollution gets in, it can travel rapidly and in very unexpected patterns. So a few months ago, I put in some public records requests to the Department of Health and the Department of Environmental Protection to see what sampling they had done in the region previously. And I was very scared by what I saw. There have been multiple exceedances of that nitrate health limit. And people may be drinking toxic water unknowingly if they don't get their well tested. So that's exactly why I'm out here at the Florida Folk Fest today, is to try to get people in this region signed up for well tests for totally for free so that they can know that their water is safe. And then also just to educate people about our groundwater and our springs.
Well, what does the Department of Health say about what diseases are caused by this, are contributed to by this nitrate issue?
So blue baby syndrome is what that 10 parts per limit, parts per million health limit was set for. And that is the line that the state will take at the, and the EPA take at this point. However, nitrate pollution and the human health impacts it has is a very active area of research. And there is some preliminary research showing that even concentrations much lower, for instance, at 2 parts per million, can potentially cause certain cancers, birth defects, and miscarriages.
Well, the reason I ask is it reminds me almost about the lead thing. In the early days of this country, everything was lead paint. And over time, you know, they started switching it. But I used to work for the health department, and you can go to the health department charts, you know, the state health database. And you can see areas of, even in a city like St. Petersburg, there's a certain part of town there where the more people were getting lead poisoning than others, and they found out it was in the paint. And so the city has, you know, and the state have to find the money to paint these houses if the people can't afford to. And I was wondering that, what does charts say about this issue? Is there a certain disease other than blue baby syndrome? I mean, whatever the technical name for that is, that flows along that area of the river or certain areas of the river. Can you decipher where it is?
You mean where the nitrate concentrations are high?
Or I think he's kind of asking, like, if there is any sort of, like, geographical pattern for, like, certain diseases existing where the nitrates are higher in higher concentrations.
That's something I'm currently trying to get some people working on. So I'm a hydrogeologist, not an epidemiologist, right. But I am trying to work with other people to try and answer those questions you're asking, because they're very important. But in terms of the geography of the pollution, it's really not clear at this point, and that's something that I am trying to do. So our project, we also will be mapping those results we got through the public record requests, and that will be a publicly available map on our website that will allow people to see exactly where the pollution is in the aquifer. For instance, I will give one example. So it's great for everybody to know. In Florida, our water is so connected. So your surface water, your groundwater coming out of wells, and your springs, it's really all the same thing. And we all get it from rain. We're lucky to have so much rain in this state. And so one example of a place experiencing some bad pollution down on the Suwannee River, Fanning Springs. I did a project at Fanning Springs a couple years ago, and I measured nitrate concentrations there over the health limit of 10 parts per million, which is crazy. For instance, the natural background concentration of nitrate before, you know, pre-development Florida was 0.05 parts per million. State has a health limit of 0.35, the state has an ecological limit for springs of 0.35. And then you can imagine that 10 is just a whole nother order of magnitude above it. And so for our springs to be having that much nitrate in them, it's really scary. It's bad for the health of the springs, and it's bad for the health of people. And, you know, people go to Fanning Springs, that crystal clear blue water, people do baptisms there, and they have no idea that they're being baptized in toxic water.
What caused it?
Great question. So, as I said, it's farm fertilizer, livestock waste, and septic tanks. And so it can either be one of those sources or a mixture of those sources, depending on where it is.
Okay.
So we've been talking about the human impact of like the nitrate levels, but is there any like data about like how like in for instance that spring like how it affects the animal, the wildlife? Is there?
Yes, it is. Yes. So the nitrate does negatively affect the health of our springs and the critters in it. And that is combined. When we talk about the health of our springs, it's really, you can boil it down to two big factors that are hurting our springs. And that's one, nitrate pollution, and two, reduced flow. And so those two factors really work together to produce kind of the nasty, mucky algae that people see in our springs now. You know, I talk to people that there's really been, so I'm 24, I'm relatively young, I've lived in Florida my whole life. The springs have been polluted pretty badly my whole life, and things are getting a bit worse. I talk to other people who, you know, have seen beautiful eelgrass in the springs I've been to where there's really no more anymore. And so the state set a nitrate limit for springs of 0.35. And in terms of how many springs are above that limit, it's about 80% of our springs in Florida are above that.
That's horrifying.
Yep. Well, it's you know, it is what it is, and we've got important work to do, and we need to work together and address it.
So obviously you guys are a nonprofit organization, and you're doing important work there. Is there a role, like a bigger role the state could be playing in trying to mitigate these problems, or? I mean.
So I'm going to have you ask that same question to our Santa Fe River, and they'll okay. be able to talk a lot about what the state could be doing for our springs. I'll talk about what the state could be doing for our drinking water. And that is, I think we need more resources and more education for our private well owners. You know, people, I talk to people and they have no idea that you're even supposed to test your well. And so our nonprofit is trying to fill that gap a little bit now, but I would love to see more counties have well testing programs. Some county health departments do have well testing programs. Others, you call them up and they just say, oh no, we don't do that. You know? And so I think more resources for our state health department and county health department to help out our private well owners would be critical.
Who would be against what you're doing? Who are your enemies?
Name names.
Well, I don't, you know, I mean, what industries would be upset by cleaning the water? It's their benefit too, isn't it?
You know, I think everyone benefits from clean water, and it's tricky. So we need to reduce the nitrogen we're putting on the land. Honestly, we are. So we do. And we need to be more conscious about where we're putting it as well.
Have you developed solutions that you can give to the farmer that tells him how to do that?
So the state does have best management practices for farmers, and many farmers are totally on board with that. However, those best management practices are required by law to be verified scientifically that they actually do reduce nitrogen loading. That has not happened yet. So I would like to see the development of advanced best management practices that are scientifically verified to reduce nitrogen.
Okay. And whose fault is that? Well, no, I don't know. I don't know what's funny about it. I'm what I'm getting at. If it's in the law that it's supposed to be verified, it's not being verified, then the person who's in charge of that program, why, you know, can't that person not going to? Hey, sir, why are you, or madam, why are you not verifying this? Because I'm going to make this up now. Because the lobby for the farmers or the agricultural pursuits has convinced them that that's not right, or they're going to, you know, it becomes political all of a sudden. It's not health anymore, and that's what you're dealing with here. You can inform all the people about it, but the ones that are involved politically, but you know, they have to have the courage to do what's right.
That's a great point. And I'm going to give a little shout out to a group I work closely with, the Florida Springs Council. So we've got some different nonprofits in Florida, and we all try and fill our different niche. I'm really focused on private wells and health, and we do groundwater trend monitoring. The Florida Springs Council, does legal and advocacy work, and they actually have a lobbyist, Ryan Smart, who works for them. And so they take the charge on those.
I've heard of him. I've heard that name before.
Yep.
Now, you mentioned earlier that one of the problems, it's not just the loads, but that there's reduced flow in the waterways. What could be done to like remedy that, or what is causing the reduced flow, I guess?
It's actually a very tricky question, and there's very smart people who disagree about it, but there's a variety of things. So some of it can be attributed to changing rainfall patterns. Also, groundwater pumping. We're incredibly reliant on groundwater in this state. We treat it like it's free. It basically is free.
Yeah, well, you just have to pay a $200.
Yeah, $115 permit fee, actually, and then the water's free after that. And so I would love to see more use of rainwater in this state, and we need to treat our groundwater like the precious resource it is. And then there's even other things like changing evaporation and transpiration patterns, because we're cutting down so many darn trees, you know, that really can impact things too. So if you can set up a rain barrel at your home and use that rainwater to water your garden instead, that's a huge help on an individual level. Another thing I would say, please, please don't water your lawn. You cannot eat grass. Okay, so just please don't water your lawn. Consider using some native plants that are going to help the bugs too, and that don't have to have that irrigation.
Yeah, we upset our neighbors sometimes because we have a yard, not a lawn, and then they send out code management or code enforcement, and we have to cut it down. And
yeah, that's no fun. Party poopers.
Yeah.
But no, I love the rain barrel and ideas like that. Anything that like an individual can do to feel empowered and like they're actively working towards a solution. Because it can feel really like disempowering, and like you're just up against an insurmountable challenge as an individual. So I love any simple thing that someone can do on an individual
Absolutely.
Level.
It's so important to make those changes in your day-to-day life, because you're taking a stand and you're saying, this matters, this is important to me, I'm going to live in line with this. But it's also really important to remember that not everything happens at the individual level. So we have to think about our collective issues and what do we collectively want to do. So, you know, register to vote if you're not registered to vote already, and, you know, do your research and try to think on a collective scale as well.
How much does a rain barrel cost?
They're pretty affordable. I mean, I've seen very fancy systems where people have all the gutters leading in their house into a barrel. But, I mean, you can just get a barrel at the store for, I mean, I think you could get some set up for $50 or less.
What about those barrels that they give out for making mulch?
Oh, the compost bins
compost
of the city?
Yeah.
Yeah, or St. Pete, they give you...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, the city can give that out for free. Why can't the county or somebody, the city, give out rain barrels to people?
It's a great question.
Will they use them?
It's a great question.
So if people wanted to find out more about y'all, what's your website? Where can they go? What can they do?
We are aquiferwatch.org. We are also on Facebook, Aquifer Watch, and Instagram, Aquifer Watch FL. Please check us out and give us a follow. We actually have some exciting news coming up soon, and we're going to be taking our work to a national and even international level soon. And we'll be posting about that in the coming weeks.
Well, that's very exciting.
It is, yes. Can't tell you exactly what yet.
Darn. We could have broke it here first. So it's
AQUIFER.org.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending a little time with us and educating us and really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's enjoy the festival.
Nice. Thank you very much for taking the time to come in here. And, great deal. What you said today, I really didn't realize either. So that's.
And to anybody listening, know where your water comes from. If you have a well, get it tested. And yeah, go swim in a spring if you haven't.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the festival.
You too.